I invite you to please get your Bibles and turn them to Psalm 127. Let's read this chapter again. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man or warrior, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible, precious word of God, and may God himself add his divine blessing to it. How should we view our children? That's the question that we would like to address in this message with God's help. How should we view our children? Here in our text, we find two basic answers. First, we should view our children as an inheritance from the Lord. Secondly, we should view our children as instruments for our good. So first of all, as an inheritance from the Lord and as instruments for our good. So let's look at our first point, that our children are an inheritance from the Lord. Now look at verse 3 of Psalm 127, please. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Now, the word lo here in verse 3, often translated as behold, underscores the basic truth mentioned in the previous two verses, that without God, our labor is in vain. And we see the truth explained in three ways. Now, first, in verse 1, addressing the builders, Solomon says, unless the Lord builds your house, you are wasting your time. You are laboring in vain. Second, speaking to the guards or watchmen, Solomon proclaims, unless the Lord watches over the city, you are watching for nothing. And then finally, talking to the workers, he states, unless the Lord provides, the work of your hands is fruitless. That is to say, what Solomon is saying to the workers is this: you work very hard, you get up early in the morning, and you stay up late trying to earn money, but without God's blessing upon your work is in vain. The point that Solomon is making here is this, that without God's help, we can do nothing. Now, in verse 3, Solomon declares, lo, or behold, that is to say, attention please. And here, he wants to get the attention of the parents in particular. Listen now, please. Parents, children are a heritage from the Lord. Now, do you know what Solomon is trying to say here? It is this, that the principle that without God's benediction, our labors are in vain also applies to us parents with regard to our children. Indeed, unless the Lord opens the womb of a wife, she will not conceive and bear a child. And Hannah understood this principle very well. And that's why she prayed earnestly to God. Remember that story in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We learned that Hannah has no child. She is barren. The Lord has closed her womb. And so with tears, she pleaded with God, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord." In other words, what Hannah is saying, "Lord, please open my womb that I may bear a child." Then in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Lord graciously and sovereignly answered Hannah's prayer. And so we read, "And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord." Here's the basic lesson that we can glean from this. God is the giver of all blessings. He gives shelter to the builders. He gives protection to the watchers, to the guards. He gives food to the workers. And He's also the one who gives children to the parents. The children that we have are from the Lord. And if you notice too, here in our text, the emphasis is not on our children themselves, but on the origin or source of our children. That is, on the fact that our children come from God. Actually, in the original, verse 3 reads this way. Literally this way. "Behold, a heritage of God are sons." So the emphasis is not on our sons or daughters or our children, but on the fact that they are a heritage from the Lord. From the Lord. Now, what is the implication of this basic truth that our children are a heritage from the Lord? Well, I will give you three. Now, first, if our children are a heritage of the Lord or from the Lord, then God owns all our children. Parents, we don't really own our children. In Hebrew, the word heritage, meaning something inherited. That's why I think in ESV, you have the word inheritance. So our children are an inheritance from the Lord. So that word heritage or inheritance indicates that ultimately our children are not a result of our work. And here's the analogy that we have here. When you receive an inheritance from your parents, a sum of money, let's say, you receive it as a gift. You did not work for it. Otherwise, if you had to work for it, it's no longer a heritage. It's no longer an inheritance. It's a salary. It's wages because you had to work for it. But when you receive an inheritance, you receive it freely as a gift from your parents. And the same applies when it comes to our children. God is saying to us, "Behold, listen, parents, I want you to pay attention to this because this is critical. I don't want you to miss this, that your children are a heritage from the Lord. God's undeserved gift to us. Because in the first place, who among us can honestly say that I deserve to have children? You don't deserve to have children. We all don't deserve to be parents to our children. And think about this. God could have chosen other people to be parents of our children. But out of His grace, pure grace, that's why it's an inheritance, it's a gift. Out of God's pure grace, He has chosen you, you sinners. Now, parents, you know yourselves very well. Now, as a father, I know myself very well. I know all my shortcomings. I know all my failures. I know all my sins. And I sometimes wonder, why? Why, Lord, have you chosen me to be a father to our five children? Someone like me, a weak person like me, a sinner like me. But you see, the Lord has been pleased to choose us parents, to be parents to our children. The Lord has given us this wonderful gift. And that's why at the end of the day, we parents are but stewards of God's inheritance. When we look at our children, we look at them as a blessing, as a gift, as an undeserved gift from the Lord. And we say to God, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my child. Thank you for our children. When was the last time, parents, you gave thanks to God for your children? Oh, I know. Especially if you are parents of younger children, or maybe even if your children are teenagers, they can give you a headache. They can be stubborn. They can give you difficulties and problems. That's given. But let us not forget that they are nevertheless gifts, precious gifts from the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. In the original, the word heritage can also be translated as property or possession. So our children are God's properties. They belong to God. Our children are God's children. You know, it's interesting because here in our translation, in our Pew Bible, we're using the King James Version. We have this translation. Look at verse 3, please. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Of the Lord. Now, in the New King James Version, you have the translation from the Lord. So in the King James Version, the emphasis is on the possession, that our children are of the Lord. They belong to the Lord. Now, in the New King James and even the ESV Version, the emphasis is on the origin or source, that our children are a heritage from the Lord, that they actually originated in the Lord. They did not originate in us. Yes, we know. Children, you came out of your mother's womb. We know that. You gave birth to your child. But at the end of the day, your child came, originated from the Lord. From the Lord. And that's also the point of the second part of verse 3. The fruit of the womb is a reward. That is to say, our children are not a reward of our good deeds. Rather, they are a reward of God's good pleasure. They are a reward of God's grace. God's grace. One of my favorite verses in the Bible when it comes to parenting is Genesis chapter 33, verse 5. And here's the context. Remember, Jacob and Esau had to be separated. For a long time, they had not seen each other. And then finally, one day, they met. And so Jacob asked, Esau asked Jacob when they met each other for the first time after a long time of separation. Genesis 33, verse 5. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." I love that answer. "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." God has graciously given those children to me. And the key word there is the word graciously. Graciously. Parents, let us not forget that when God gave us our children, He did so graciously. Because we did not deserve our children. They are an inheritance, a precious gift from the Lord. They are covenant children. Yet, having said that, we are also aware, painfully aware, that while our children are God's children, covenantally speaking, that they are children of the covenant, they are also children of wrath. Children of wrath. Why is it so? Well, because, as David says in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth," or born, "in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And here's the tension. God gave us a gift, but this gift is not perfect. Our children are conceived and born in sin. Yes, our children are covenant children, but they are also children of wrath. Now, how do we reconcile the two? How? Well, by proclaiming the gospel to our children. And that's why, as parents, we need to keep sharing the gospel with our children. We should not stop proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to our children. Yes, they are a heritage from the Lord, but they are also children of wrath, deserving of God's judgment. And we should also avoid these two extremes that are often committed by parents. And the first extreme is this. You have parents who put too much emphasis on God's covenant. Usually those parents who put too much emphasis on God's covenant, they tend to presume their children to be automatically born again. And so they don't see the need to evangelize their children. They don't see the need to share the gospel with their children. After all, they would argue, well, our children are covenant children. And in their mind, when they use that term, they think that their children are automatically regenerate, born again. No, you don't see that in the Word of God. But you also have another extreme. Too much emphasis on God's wrath. And so you have parents who treat them their children as not different from the children of unbelieving parents. Now remember, our children are covenant children who receive the sign and seal of baptism. And if one day your child comes to you and says, "Daddy, Daddy, I have something to tell you." "What is that, my child?" "I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Oh, please, please, parents, don't discourage your child. Don't say that, "Well, you're only 8 years old, you're only 9 years old, you're only 10 years old, you're only 11 years old." That cannot be true. Who are you to say that to your child? Who are you to make that judgment? Are you underestimating the power of the gospel to save even a child? You see, we need to strike the balance and avoid two extremes. You don't presume that your children are automatically born again. But you don't think either that your children cannot be saved in their young age. And to avoid those extremes, we need to present the gospel to them. And yes, even when our children have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ savingly, they still need the gospel. They need the gospel for their sanctification, that they may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be parents saturated with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want the gospel to be spread in our household. That's what we want. Actually, that's what God wants from us, parents. And so we show their sin. We tell our children that they are children of wrath. They are sinners. And we point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can save them from their sin. Here's the second implication of the fact that our children are an inheritance from the Lord. God has all the right to do whatever He wants to our children. Since our children are God's children, that is that they belong to God, that they are from the Lord, God has all the right to do whatever He wants to our children. He has the right to take them away from us. And I know, parents, this is very hard to learn and accept. Job learned this when he said, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know what's interesting? When you read the narrative in Job, there is a sense that it was the strong wind or the strong storm that killed Job's 10 children. But Job did not say the strong wind claimed the lives of my 10 children. No, he said, "The Lord has given them to me, and the Lord has taken them from me." My response is, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, even with this report about COVID, you watch news or you read news about COVID-19, and they will say COVID-19 has claimed many lives, for instance, in Canada. But we know that ultimately, it's not COVID-19 that has claimed the lives of those people, but God Himself. God Himself. Parents, we need to learn this. And we need to submit to God's wisdom that God has the prerogative to do whatever He wants to our children. Even their salvation depends on God's prerogative will at the end of the day. But that should not excuse us from doing our duties as parents. We are to diligently instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. We are to be faithfully teaching them the ways of God. We are to constantly proclaiming to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we know that unless the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of our children, they cannot understand the gospel. And maybe you are here this afternoon. You have a son, you have a daughter who is stubbornly and willfully refusing to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. A son, a daughter who is so stubbornly rejecting the offer of grace. And you've done what you could as parents to your children. And that's when we need to trust the Lord and say, Lord, please help my children. Help my children. And how often also we say to God, when God does whatever He wants to our children, we say, Lord, You are not fair. You are not fair. Why did You do this to my child? Why did You take the life of my child? Why did You give my child this form of affliction or sickness? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? I thought You were good. Why did You do this to my child? It's not fair, Lord. It's not fair. Well, let's be careful when we say that to God. It's not fair. Remember what He did to His own son. We learned about that this morning. That ultimately, it was God the Father who killed His own son. We read in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 10. Surely He, referring to the Messiah, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Think about that. And again, we learned about this morning. But for those of you who are not here this morning, who smote the Son of God? Well, God the Father. God the Father smote, slain His own Son. Verse 10 says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. It pleased the Lord to bruise His own Son. God the Father took away the life of His own Son. And He did it for us, for our sake, for us sinners. He gave His Son. He delivered Him up. He brought Him to the altar of Calvary to die on the cross, so that through His death, by believing in Him, we might be saved and enjoy everlasting life. Now, may I ask you this? How many of you would call this something that was not fair? How many of us said, Lord, what you did on the cross was not fair? Because You killed Your Son. What was fair was for You to kill me, because I was the one who sinned against You. Instead, You killed Your innocent Son. And yet how often we say, Lord, it's not fair. Why did you do this to my innocent child? And we love to use the word innocent. But really, what does the word innocent mean? When you say innocent, it means free from sin, free from guilt. And yet we know that our children are conceived and born in sin. God has all the right to punish our children. It is only by His grace that our children are still alive and still have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And if our children are believers now in Christ, that's because of His grace. It's all because of His grace. So you see, before we question God, first think of what He did to His only begotten Son, the innocent one who died in our place. What a love that is. And here's the third implication of the fact that our children are a heritage from the Lord. Since our children are from God or of God, we must raise them according to His rules and regulations. And those rules and regulations are written in His Word. One of the things that it's hard for us to do, parents, is to discipline our children. And yet, God has told us to discipline our children out of love. If we love our children, we ought to discipline them. And children, please listen to this. Please listen, children. When your parents discipline you, it's not because they don't love you. It's actually the opposite. It's because they care so much for you. If they don't care for you, they would just have let you go and do whatever you want. Is that what you want, children? To do whatever you want and perish in your own stubbornness and wickedness. And that's why be thankful to your parents when they lovingly rebuke you and correct you and discipline you. Yes, of course, discipline hurts. I don't like it either. Who wants a discipline, a correction? By nature, we hate it because we are proud. We think that we know everything. We don't want anyone to correct us. And yet, God does it to us. God chastises us precisely because He loves us. He cares for us. And so, parents, discipline your children. Discipline them out of love. And of course, if we are honest too, parents, how often when we discipline our children, we do so with anger. And we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness. Children, remember too that your parents are not perfect. We make mistakes. We ask for forgiveness, you forgive us. And that's the beauty of Christian life too. We can forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven us in Christ. And so together, parents and children grow in grace because we need grace. Parents need grace to raise their children in the fear of the Lord. Children, they need grace too as they receive instructions from their parents. And so as parents, we need to acknowledge God's sovereignty over all areas of our lives. There is a sense that we parents are builders. We are building up a family. We are raising our children. There is a sense too that we are watchers or guards. We provide security or safety or protection for our children, for our family. Yes, we parents, we are workers too. We work. We provide food, clothing. We help our children. And so we need to commit them to the Lord. We know that apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. And it's really humbling to be a parent. If you are a father, a mother, it's so humbling. Because despite all your failures and shortcomings, especially when you see your children walk in the ways of the Lord, when you see your children making a confession of faith publicly, when you see your children now teaching or as a deacon, as an elder, serving the church, when you see them, you say, Lord, thank you. I know that it's not because of me. I know that it's all because of you. It's humbling. It's humbling. And so you give all the praise and glory to God. So our children are a heritage, an inheritance from the Lord. But secondly, and briefly, our children are instruments for our good. And that's how we should view our children also. We need to view our children as instruments for our good. Now, look at verse 4 of our passage, Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now, let me give you a quick historical context of this passage. Now, you understand, of course, that during the time of Solomon, God's covenant people were surrounded by their enemies who tried to defeat them. Now, one of the weapons that they would use to defend themselves against their adversaries was an arrow. It was a powerful weapon. And Solomon says, our children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. They will defend us, they will protect us against our invaders, against our enemies. Now, this is especially true to those who had children in their youth. For by the time they are very old and unable to defend themselves due to their weakness or perhaps infirmity, it is their grown-up children who will fight for them against their foes or attackers. And for that reason, in the Old Testament, those who had many children were regarded as blessed or happy. That's why we read in verse 5, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Now, you understand, boys and girls, the word quiver here is a case for holding arrows. And in this context, it refers to our house. So what Solomon is saying is this, now, your children are like arrows. The warriors use these arrows to protect themselves. They are powerful weapons. And Solomon is saying, our children are like these arrows. And the more arrows you have, the happier you are, the more blessed you are, because you have more protection, safety against your invaders, against your enemies. And so, the point that Solomon is making is this, that our children are actually blessings. They are blessings. We should view them as blessings from God. They bring benefits to us. They give us protection. Now, literally, of course, maybe if you are a shut-in or in your old age, now you have grown-up children. They come and visit you when you are sick. They especially if you are a widow or a widower, your children, they now come to help you. Now you are benefiting in that sense. You are profiting from your children. They are serving you. They are helping you. Now, before, when they were little, you were serving them. But the time has come that your children are now helping you. They are now blessings to you in that context. And of course, there are many ways in which our children can be blessings to us. Now, of course, even when they are small, they are already blessings to us. They teach us many, many lessons. Like how often, for instance, I'll say to, let's say, one of our children, "You did it again. I just told you not to do that. And you did it again." As soon as I said that, I am reminded too of what I do to my God. That God, again and again, tells me, "Don't do it. Don't do it, Brian. Don't do it, Brian. Don't do it." In His law, He is reminding me, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt do this and that." And how often I fail to do it. And so you see yourself in your child. And so you also want to treat them with grace, as God the Father is treating you with grace. How often we pray to God, "Lord, help me to be patient." And God is giving you more children to help you become more patient. And how often we pray, "Lord, I want to know more Jesus Christ. I want to be more sanctified. Lord, help me to grow more in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ." And guess what? God is using your children. God gives maybe a form of sickness to one of your children to help you grow more in grace. Because that's when you realize, isn't it true that when our children are sick, and especially when you don't really know what to do, especially in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., one of your children wakes up sick and you're just tired, and what do? You just cry out, "Lord, please help me. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord." So you learn to depend more on God. So our children are blessings to us in so many ways. Yes, our children are stubborn. But we are stubborn too, as parents. Our children really are like a mirror. We see ourselves in them. We see ourselves in them. And we know that unless the Lord take our children in His hand, they will be useless. Just as here in our text, the arrows in themselves are useless. Someone has to use them. A warrior, a skilled, a trained warrior has to use those arrows. Otherwise, you have arrows, 10, no one is using them, they are useless. And the same is true. Once our children are sovereignly and divinely placed in the hand of God, the ultimate warrior, then they will become useful in God's kingdom. And that's what we want, parents. Don't we, right? We want to bring our children, we point them, "My children, I want you to be used by God. I want you to be in the hand of our God, the great warrior. So that this great warrior can use you for His kingdom and for His glory." Now, as I end this message, maybe this message brings pain to your heart. Or maybe because you don't have a child. And I'm sorry to hear that if you don't have a child, I have good news for you. Our Heavenly Father has given us His own Son. His Son, His child can be yours. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. Isn't it amazing that this sentence is worded in this way? Because usually, when we have a birth announcement, for instance, we say, Laurel was born to Johnny and Mandy Overbeek, right? We don't say Laurel was born to us. No, not to us, to them. They are the parents. But when we read Isaiah 9:6, it says here, for to us a child is born. The Messiah, the Son of God, is born to us. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so if this afternoon, maybe you've never been married, it can be lonely. You're thinking about your future. Who will take care of me? This is a good message for those parents who have kids. But I don't have kids. I am not married. Well, I have good news for you. God is giving you His Son. His Son, the great warrior. His Son, Jesus Christ, our great defender. You see, our children, yes, our children, our earthly children, they can help us. They can protect us from our earthly enemies. But they cannot protect us from our spiritual enemies. They cannot protect us from Satan. Yes, they can give us food. They can help us financially, materially. But they cannot satisfy our souls. They cannot quench that spiritual thirst that only the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, can do. But here you have Jesus Christ who can do this for you. He is our great defender against our great enemy, Satan. If you have Jesus, if you have the Son of God, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. If you have the Son of God, He will take care of you. He will keep you safe from Satan. He will give you peace that money cannot buy. He will give you love. He will give you comfort. He will give you everything that you need for your salvation and sanctification. He will deliver you from the power and penalty of sin. And in the gospel, this child, the Son of God, can be yours by faith. You can receive Him. You can receive Him. And the beauty of the gospel too is that whoever receives Jesus will become part of the family of God. You think you're lonely. You think you're alone. But once you have Jesus, you have brothers and sisters. You belong to this wonderful family of God. God the Father Himself will take care of you. Oh, worship the King, as one hymn writer says. All glorious above, oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. In Jesus, you have everything that you need. He is your all in all. He is our all-sufficiency. And you know what it means too. You can have 15 children, but if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You have nothing. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus, that He is indeed our Maker, our Defender, our Redeemer, our Friend. And Lord, as we think of our children too, we pray that you would raise them in the fear of the Lord. Use them, Lord, as arrows in your hand. Use them in your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.